And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I do that like once a month, I think. Carlos, though, you start every podcast with a nice dance in the background. So
absolutely.
I appreciate that you distract from the fact that I can't say podcast once a month.
No, I got to bring that energy, James. That music is fantastic. I'm always a little disappointed when Eureka cuts the music 10 seconds into the podcast. Kind of just want to vibe to it in the background. But James, as of 2 days ago, we've entered into arguably some of the greatest 30 days in the calendar year. Do you know what I'm referring to, James?
Well, if you're not referring to the upcoming USL playoffs, then I'm not sure I'm aware.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've entered Hispanic Heritage Month.
Of course.
Oh my God, that's so loud in here. It's so cagey in here. I must have like blown up several earphones right now. I'm sorry if you were listening to this with headphones on. Anyway, there's that going on, James. I just got an email the other day, or today, yesterday, from the Rowdies about Hispanic Heritage Month celebrations with the Hartford game at home coming up. Not this week. Is it the week after? I think so, right?
I think so.
Yeah, well, at some point in the future. They're giving out maracas, James. They're giving out maracas. You kidding me? That's awesome. 2,000 fans are going to walk out of Al Lang Stadium with Orlando Health Rowdies maracas. I tweeted this out on the timeline earlier. I said Vuvuzelas 2010. Get that out of here. That's so 14 years ago. It's time for maracas. It's the new thing at soccer stadiums, James. Imagine it. Leo Fernandez, Hartford. It's still 1-1 in the 90th minute for whatever reason, because we're not blowing him out. He comes in here. Boom. Header. 90th minute winner. 2,000 maracas go off in unison around the stadium. The rattle is absurd.
Is it 2,000 or is it 2,000 sets?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Okay. We need to figure this
maracas
out.
So, I mean, I guess we could leave that up to the, might have to investigate this a little more. But yeah, people are saying it's the new it instrument at soccer stadiums, James. They said there's going to be like a playlist curated. By the Hispanic Rowdies players and staff. So I'm looking forward to Bad Bunny going off at max volume when that 90th minute winner kicks in. The maracas and the Bad Bunny chorus coming at the same time. It's going to make for a magical night, and I'm already looking forward to it. James, how are you doing on this day of Hispanic Heritage Month?
Yeah, I guess I wasn't quite prepared for everything that was coming in the Hispanic Heritage Month celebrations, but I'm looking forward to it now. And I guess, Carlos, as well, we have something a little bit more to look forward to, because the Rowdies are not on a terrible streak at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
We have actually, well, let's get into what happened last week, because it wasn't all up and it wasn't all down, but it started with a Wednesday game away to Birmingham Legion, which unfortunately the Rowdies did lose, but it actually finished with a game on Saturday at home where the Rowdies came back and did get a, what, 90th minute winner, something like that?
91st.
Yeah, 91st. There we go. So very close. And that was from Leo Fernandez. So yeah, all very positive stuff that we can end the week with, and maybe it will be the perfect start to Hispanic Heritage Month for the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in our own standings, we only got points for the win over Legion because nobody predicted that we would the win over Pittsburgh because nobody predicted that we would lose to Legion. Carlos, you are on 14 points while Eureka and I are both on 12. I'm coming for you, Eureka. I'm about to overtake. We'll see how it finishes with the end of the season coming up very quickly here. And we also want to say, while we're on the topic, RBLR's next watch party is coming up this Saturday. It is this Saturday, folks, September the 21st. The actual watch party itself starts at 6:45. The game starts at 7:30. So please join us for that game at 7:30. There will be a halftime swag giveaway like we usually do. There will be beer pitcher specials like Barry House usually has. If you don't know Barry House, now is the perfect time to come out and try some of their beer. It is, as I say each week, it is literally award-winning. It is not something that I just wrote on Twitter. I think Barry House should win an award. They have actually won awards for their beer. And they have a good selection, including dark beers, for the people who like that in the middle of summer, like myself. So please come join us and take part in whatever type of beer you choose. If you don't drink beer, you can still come and have a good time at Barry House with us watching the Rowdies. Please do so.
Beer.
Like and subscribe to us on YouTube or any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow us here at RBLR Sports. At RBLR Sports on all social media. That's Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, wherever you are. That's where you can find us there. So let's get into the two games, and we'll start with the first one from Wednesday. Carlos, I will turn it over to you to get us going.
James, before we do that, you know who we should bring on the podcast is the guy, one of the pure guys at the Rowdies games, who goes around the stadium, around the Ralph's Mob section. He's a very particular way of saying beer, 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 beer. That guy, let's get him in here. I can't stop thinking about him now that you said the word beer and how he says the word beer. Also, I'm going to claim the predictions title with like, what, 8 games to go or 9 games?
That's bold of you.
I'm going to go ahead and claim it because I'm that confident in myself and my predictions going into these last 8 games. So I'm just going to ask you and Eureka to start prepping whatever my reward is for coming in first place.
Here's the thing. I think that we were talking about an award of jumping into the bay again.
Is that the award, or is that the? I feel like that's kind of counterintuitive. But brainstorm, you guys, and get back to me. Just start thinking about what you're going to give me for winning this year. Okay, James. More importantly than my inevitable title, the Rowdies went out to Alabama. Great little place, so I've heard. Jordan Farr in goal, Jordan Doherty in front of him with Kleeman and Guillen making up that back line. Somewhat interesting lineup as we move ahead here. By the way, Guillen is back in there, Doherty back in there. Good to see them getting regular starts again after a little bit of an injury situation with them. Going forward, got a little more interesting as Pacific Nyongabira was at the wing back spot and Spalding was at the other wing back spot. We'll talk about Spalding in a second because we won't have to talk about him for the rest of the year. Lewis Hilton and Ben Bender got the start in the middle between them. And then moving ahead, you had Bodily. This was one of the more interesting bits for me in this game. Bodily in the more exclusively attacking role, kind of up top with Manu Arteaga and Damian Rivera getting the start. So a lot to talk about there. I think just in the lineup, we can spend a few minutes thinking about what the situation was there. But an interesting lineup, no less. I thought it could be our best starting 11. I don't know how you spring. I don't know. I'll talk about this in a little bit. More importantly, though, despite it being a really good looking lineup, the Rowdies went out and honestly played a decent early part of the game. I honestly think we played better in the early part of this game than we did against Pittsburgh. But unfortunately, those early flurry of chances, couple great looks from Spalding, from Bodily, had a great shot early on in this one. Van Okel made a few great saves with his big beard and ugly mustache. He had another good game against the Rowdies, as he usually does, James. Wouldn't matter, is my point. Birmingham would go ahead and take the lead in this one and win pretty comfortably after they got that first goal. Pastor was subbed out, James, but it wasn't soon after they doubled their lead. And that was all she wrote, James. By the end of this one, it was a pretty comfortable 2-0 win for Birmingham Legion once they settled in. Got that first goal. The second half was a little lighter on chances, or in the chances department for your Tempe Rowdies. Struggled to get back into this one after going down. Rowdies lose 2-0 in a game that I think we probably should have at least tied, but I wanted to win, obviously. Things went much better back home against the very hot Pittsburgh Riverhounds, James. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick like a realistic prediction, my prediction was probably inverse of how these games went. You know, I thought the game in Birmingham would go a lot better than the one against Pittsburgh. But James, tell us really quickly about how this one went against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this one, like you said, was probably the tougher task on paper, but somehow it managed to be the one where the Rowdies were able to get the comeback going. They did give up the first goal in this one as well, but We'll do the lineup first here. So Jordan Farr started in net. Zane Bubb, Freddie Kleeman, and Jordan Doherty were across the back. Eddie Munjoma, Ben Bender, Lewis Hilton, and Blake Bodley were the four of a midfield. And up top were listed Cal Jennings, Manuel Arteaga, and Josh Perez. It went that way in particular because Ryan Spalding actually was recalled from his loan from the New England Revolution and went back up to the Revs. Now, this was literally announced Saturday morning. I got that email the morning before the game, and that was a little surprising. I guess that, I mean, I don't know the situation that's going on in New England. I have completely stopped following MLS after all of their shenanigans related to the Open Cup. So I cannot tell exactly what is going on up there. I assume it's got something to do with a selection headache for the coaching staff. Really doesn't bother me too much. I think that they should just deal with it and bring in some of their academy players. That's what they have the whole academy system for, that apparently they wanted to insert into the Open Cup, but whatever. Ryan Spalding was recalled and we could not use him. I don't know if he will be back. We will obviously have to see how that plays out. So to get into the game itself, Pittsburgh took the lead pretty early before the halftime whistle. This was after the Rowdies actually had a pretty good start against Pittsburgh, it looked like. I didn't see much of the game because I was away in Chicago this past weekend, so I was unable to take in the replay even. I did have the highlights and a little bit of reading about it to go on. So yeah, they took the lead, and it wasn't going our way, let's say. It wasn't going our way for a little while in the second half until eventually Cal Jennings and Manuel Arteaga combined to get the equalizing goal and put us back into this game. And by the way, the finish of this goal from Manuel Arteaga. Oof. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. I did not get to see, because I was still in Chicago and traveling home, I did not get to see if the CBS Sports Golazo Network put that as one of their top 10 goals of the weekend. But if they didn't, they are lying. They are just liars. So I hope that they did. We'll leave it there. And then, as we had just talked about, Leo Fernandez in the stoppage time period, already getting into or past the 90 minutes. We're at 90th and a minute, and he finds his way into the back of the net with a shot that gets blocked, and then another shot that almost gets blocked but actually gets pushed into the net when he tries to chip it over the keeper from Pittsburgh. So good stuff from Leo. I think that he has actually been one of the best players since he's started to fully return. The only problem is, of course, he's still coming on as a substitute. So he's getting a little bit more time each game, which is good to see. But at some point, you have to think, whenever his fitness allows, naturally, his influence in these games is already proving to be very important, so he's probably going to have to step up by the time we hit the playoffs. At least that's the way it looks from my perspective.
Like, so, I mean, if there's a time to step up, it would be the playoffs, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. So we're happy that he's getting more and more playing time, even if it's still off the bench right now. That is all positive. And you've got to ease yourself back, of course. You've got to ease yourself back properly, because we don't want another situation where it continues to be delayed as it has been, which is very unfortunate for him and the team overall. Let's do a quick standings update before we jump into the games. Charleston have also clinched a playoff spot. This was despite losing their game. So congratulations, I guess, to Charleston for losing to Colorado Springs and still getting into the playoffs.
Who does that? Who loses to Colorado Springs? What a bunch of losers.
Yeah. Who in their recent memory has done such a thing?
Who the
Absolutely
hell?
Absolutely ridiculous.
Who do they think they are getting into the playoffs after losing to Colorado Springs? What the hell?
But they did get into the playoffs. Their spot is clinched now, along with Louisville City. We'll go to the Eastern Conference, where Louisville City lead with 62 points from 27 games. That is, of course, best overall in the league. So whatever to them. Battery have 56 points from their 29 games. Whatever to them as well. We are still in third, despite our recent little dip in form, let's say. 46 points from 28 games is where we sit. A couple ahead of Detroit, who have 42 from their 28 games played. Indy is actually catching up a little bit. They have 40 points from 27 games. So I guess they have a game in hand on us and Detroit, and that could put them on 43, which would actually put them ahead of Detroit City at the very least. Out west, New Mexico have 51 points from their 27 games. I believe they also lost this weekend. Well, Sacramento and Colorado Springs have 44 games each, although they have played 26 and 28 games respectively. Memphis have 43 points from 29 games played, and that puts them in fourth place. So those are the top of the standings in the East and the West. Let's now look at those games just a little bit closer, see how the matches actually went. And Carlos, I'm going to lead us off a little bit with the Birmingham game. Specifically, to go back to something you mentioned, which was the formation. There was a bit of a formational change leading into this game, and that comes down to, I guess, a selection headache that has already been resolved in the meantime. So it did seem like there were growing pains with this formation change, and this came down to the fact that they had Blake Bodley and they had Ryan Spalding available to choose from, and they didn't want to put Blake Bodley on the back line because Aaron Guillen was also back to play his usual role as the left defender. I guess we wouldn't say left center back, but he was the left defender, and Blake Bodley did not need to stay at the back, which probably works out. I don't know that Blake Bodley is the best defensive-minded player. Carlos is looking for his abilities there at the moment.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I see what you did there, James.
But so Blake Bodley was an out-and-out left back in kind of like a 4-2-3-1, although it was very interesting because Damian Rivera was allowed a lot of freedom from the starting position in this game. He could kind of go wherever he wanted here, and Ryan Spalding was the actual out-and-out left winger. Pacific Nyangabire, it seemed, could go up and down the right wing. He has the ability to do that, which I do think both Blake Bodley and Ryan Spalding do as well. So that's where I think a little bit of the problem stemmed from, is that sometimes Blake Bodley wanted to get forward and was unable to do so because Ryan Spalding, as much as he is good on the ball, he is not the player that you expect to have the ball and then dribble it into the midfield, which would allow into the center of the field, which would allow Blake Bodley to get up the left wing. The left wing was always blocked for him. So yeah, it was just, it was something that they had to work out kind of as they went. But I think that the Rowdies started off relatively positively. They had quite a few chances to get going in the first half.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there was a problem that we have seen, Carlos, in many games recently, where the Rowdies have created a lot of chances, but for one reason or another, be it down to maybe the lack of finishing, maybe a very good goalkeeper. I don't know that I would put it totally down to Matt Van Okkel in this one. I think that there were a couple of ones that we could have done a little bit better on in terms of the shooting, although he did still come out and stand up tall in some very big moments in that first half. So
yeah,
fair enough. It was probably a little bit of both, as most situations are. And Legion were able to take the lead. At the time, it was noted by the commentator that this was their first lead. In fact, their first goal, I should say, in nearly four whole games. That is not the best record. They had been shut out the three games prior to playing us, and we almost made it 45 minutes without conceding to them. Not the best record for us going into this one. Either way, You still gotta pick yourself up and dust yourself off if you want to get back into a game, right? But maybe the Rowdies did not have that as part of their plans. The game looked interesting in the second half, although it's not like we didn't have our chances here. It also got a little bit feisty, I would say, in that second half. That isn't surprising. There does seem to be a bit of animosity between Tampa Bay and Birmingham. I think that we've seen that in multiple instances, including the two instances that we've already had this year, which somehow were within a couple of days of each other. If anybody remembers, we had an Open Cup fixture against them on Wednesday at Al Lang. We had a League Cup fixture against them the following Saturday, again at Al Lang. There were some tempers, and they have carried over all the way into September. So one of those was actually between Ben Bender, who at this point ended up a lot on the right wing kind of position. He was, as he is wont to do, going to carry the ball a lot more into the center of the park and allow Pacific Nyongaviri to get up the wing. So Ben Bender ended up matching up against the Birmingham left back Moses Mensah quite a bit, and that got contentious. Those two were pushing each other every so often, definitely wanted to scrap a little bit more than they were probably allowed with the referee there. But I remember there was a moment when Ben Bender tried to do a little like a little rainbow flick over Mensah to make him look silly. Yeah, unfortunately, he did not pull it off, but props to him for trying.
Would have been cool.
Would have been cool, exactly. So then the second half was also characterized, as we have seen from the Tampa Bay coaching staff, they made several substitutions all in one go. It is frequently three. I think of it as kind of like a hockey line change, but it's the part of the game now that we have five substitutions in most of these. So very interesting to see how that changed the dynamics. Jordan Doherty was moved from his position in the midfield, where he was sitting pretty much next to Lewis Hilton. He was kind of a more roving player next to the not stationary, but the more centrally located Lewis Hilton. He moved onto the back line during the substitution because Freddie Kleeman went off. Leo Fernandez was, again, something we've been saying, one of the better players in this second half. And considering the way that the first half went, I think that that means he probably was one of the better Rowdies players on the night. Cal Jennings had a very good chance that unfortunately he could not put on target. There were many similar situations in the second half. We again had a bunch of situations that I think if we had had some better finishing, we were going to at least equalize, if not take the lead. Of course, we did not do that. As you see by the scoreline, we were shut out, and that allowed Birmingham to create the space where they were able to double their own lead and make it 2-0. Really what happened with that one was Kobe Hernandez-Foster was just given too much room. He was able to carry the ball for, I don't know, several yards into our own half. And then he passed the ball off. It came back to him and nobody tried even to shut him down at the top of our box. Now, don't get me wrong. It was a pretty well put shot and it was in the bottom right corner. It's very hard to reach, but it was bad defending leading up to that. And Carlos might have some more opinions about what led up to it, but that was all she wrote on there. Either way, it was not our best performance. And I guess it's probably a lineup or a formation change that we're unlikely to see moving forward.
A few things. One, I've hit that shot in intramural soccer last year. So, not a good shot.
Carlos dropping facts on all the Georgetown intramural teams.
Look, I mean, it was a banger of a shot. We were playing against, I think, like the Spirit Club team. I was repping the Voice, you know, the student magazine team we had going on. It was a ripper.
Good matchup, Derby rivalry. Yeah,
it was really good. It was intense. The fans were electric, but it was a nice and easy shot, James. It gave me too much space. Must happen with Kobe Hernandez Foster. Two, you mentioned hockey. I think when there's like tempers flying, right? I think we should just let them fight, honestly. Just get it out the way. Give them like 20 seconds to just go to town. And let them do their thing, because it's just kind of silly if they're just kind of poking each other the whole time. And then last thing, have you ever played Sonic, James?
I don't think so.
I haven't either, but there's a guy in there, and I can't tell you what his name is, but he kind of looks like Matt Van Okel. I just thought about it. Is this guy? Hold on.
The villain?
You're missing this if you're not watching this on YouTube or looking at us live. This guy right here.
Yeah, okay. The Sonic villain, whose name I also don't know, but yes, I do get that a bit.
Yeah, Dr. Eggman, whatever.
Mr. Doctor?
Something like that. He's got a title in front of his name. Sensei or chef or something of the like. Maybe doctor. Point is, James,
wears a lot of hats.
Yeah, we shouldn't be losing to Dr. Eggman or Eggman PhD, like whatever his title is. He had a decent game, but we had enough chances that we should have put one or more of them away. Damian Rivera actually had a really good, by the way, he hit the post on a beautiful pass from
Ben Bender. That's right.
Ben Bender, man, I don't get tired of saying his name, and I hope I have more opportunities to say it going forward because he had a pretty good game. So good for him, Ben Bender. Yeah, a couple great looks for him. I'm creating chances and very like mobile in a way that's kind of interesting for a guy his size as well. He's a tallish guy, kind of lanky, but he's able to move around really, really well, James. Yeah, I thought he would be more of like a natural center midfielder, which seems to be his, you know, primary position. But like you said, he was drifting out to the wings. He can do it really well as well. He's got some great speed to him. So I'm excited to see his continued contribution to this team. He looked good in this one. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it was frustrating. We had chances. We didn't put them away. Who knows how the game goes if we score one of those early chances that we had.
Right, exactly.
Game changes entirely when you're up 1-0.
And I think Legion were also probably like us. They were probably ripe to have their hopes dashed all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, I still have to mention the fact that them playing in that stadium is absurd. Like,
yeah,
it really is. I don't know. Like, I could see the couple Rowdies fans that made the drive up there, and they're just in the entire section by themselves. Like, the whole section is just them. And I'm talking like it's got to be like at least like 800, 900 person like section. And it's just these two Rowdies fans. Like, they stick out really, really well in the bright green on gray concrete. Like, anyway. So it was a frustrating one, all things considered. I you know what kind of frustrates me is that I can't even really be like really mad on this podcast because we won our next game, which we'll talk about in a minute.
But at the same time,
yeah, like I can't be like angry or like really happy. So now I'm just kind of like this weird like neutral state, because we lost and then won. Whatever. Point stands, James. It was a frustrating one. Plenty of chances, like you said, but ultimately, we probably won't see this rather unique combination of a lineup again. Maybe in some way, saving Cal for Saturday. You know, like it was a few games in what, 3 games in a week, right? Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. So it is a pretty hefty amount of games. Maybe it's just rotation. I mean, Bub did get the start on Saturday, so certainly some rotation there. Guillen was on the bench. I don't know if that was performance or injury or, you know, maybe it was just giving him a little bit of a rest. But there's things to talk about there, and maybe I could have you know what? That's on me, James. I should have asked that to Robbie Nielsen in the press conference. What the hell was I thinking? Why didn't I ask him a little bit about the lineups between Wednesday and Saturday? Whatever. Nonetheless, different lineups, interesting lineups, but we certainly won't have to worry about deciding between Spalding and Bodley again because that decision was made for us.
Yes.
I didn't realize, by the way, that New England was playing in Orlando that Saturday, like this past Saturday as well. Mm. So I guess it's a pretty quick hop for him to join up with the team. But then I checked to see if he was like on the bench. He wasn't even on the bench. What the hell? Like he wasn't even on the bench. He was just there.
I just don't understand what value MLS is supposed to provide to the average soccer fan.
By the way, you know who was on the bench for New England Revolution? Bobby Wood. What the hell? That guy still plays soccer? I don't know. Sorry, I just had to mention that because I saw him on my other screen right now. Not my other screen, my like other tab here. So shout out to Bobby Wood. I hope he's doing well. What a guy. Before I go off on a tangent about how much I love Bobby Wood really randomly, James, that was the game against Birmingham. I don't really have much else to say. I'd rather talk about Saturday because it was a lot more fun. And even then it wasn't a blast, but we came out. there was my thoughts for that game in a second. But yeah, I mean, that was the Birmingham game. That was it. It was dull. It was gray. Literally like the stream was like gray. It had that gray tint to it. Very like sad aura about the stadium just because of how empty it was compared to like the size of the stadium.
Yes.
The thing I will say, shout out to whoever the Birmingham like supporters group is on the left side of the stadium, like look the broadcast, like behind the goal that's on the left, because they had like the drums, they had the whole like South American style thing, they had like a big banner, and I was like, respect. I like that. It was cool. That kept me into it, at least with a nice beat in the background, if nothing
there
else.
There you go.
That was Birmingham James. I hate to play them. I really do. We used to like have their number, you know, in the playoffs. We just ran into them and steamrolled them pretty comfortably in the playoffs. I don't know what happened in the last couple of years, but it seems like the roles have been reversed and they own us. And I really don't want to run into them in the playoffs because they will continue to own us just because that's what they do apparently now. Yeah. Luckily, though, no annoying moments were at a minimum for Enzo. So I didn't have to deal with that.
That is fair. That is fair. Yeah,
that was nice. So shout out Bobby Wood.
Well, yeah, Carlos, I think that it's probably good to move on to the next game because it is – I do think that we did well in spurts, and unfortunately, it wasn't what we needed, obviously, again, by checking the final score. But it's also something that we're never going to see probably for the rest of this season because unless they send Ryan Spalding back on loan, I don't know why that would happen at this point.
But I wouldn't be surprised. It seems like they just kind of like do things on a whim. So,
yeah, true.
I
mean,
I would not be surprised.
The only other thing that I might want to see going forward is if we give Damian Rivera that kind of roving role where he was very free to go kind of wherever he wanted. I did like that at times. So if we see more of that, it obviously went away for the very next game. But that could be something that's interesting. So let's get into the one against Pittsburgh. And I'll turn it over to you here, Carlos, because as I said, I do not have a lot to go off of with this one.
Oh, yeah, this one was more fun. But like I said, I mean, I'm sitting there in the stadium. I'm with my mom. Shout out my mom. Love her to death. We're sitting there behind the Ralph's Mob section. We're kind of in the stands, like above. Light attendance, you know, which was kind of lame. Strange vibe about the stadium. And people just want to see some good performance, right? I think in some sense, there was kind of a string of mediocre results, right? People were wanting to see something. And it took a little bit for them to see something, James, because like we said, it was actually Pittsburgh who went up relatively. No, it wasn't early. It was late in that first half, earlier than the Rowdies, of course. They'd score in the 43rd minute. It was Jackson Walsey, literally a guy who I would have never in a million years told you, keep an eye on this guy to score a goal. I didn't know who he was, honestly, until this game. And again, maybe I'm just not super tuned into the world of USL outside of the Rowdies sometimes, James. So maybe that's just on me. But it took a very long time for the Rowdies to seem to really settle into this one. Like you said, it was Arteaga who would open the scoring for us with a lovely back heel. Cal Jennings contributed with a lovely assist as well. It was really nice to see that. It feels like Cal's had kind of like a slow run in the last few games as well, which might have contributed to this kind of like slow run for the Rowdies. You know, when a guy like Cal Jennings is hot, it's hard not to win games. So it was good to see him get involved in that as well. Skipping way over 20 minutes later to the Leo Fernandez goal, which was the really fun part. It was Leo Fernandez who, like I said, got to the end of that one. Like you mentioned earlier, got a shot off. It was saved by the Pittsburgh keeper, stayed on top of it and followed it and had an empty goal for his second shot that would eventually go in after what seemed like a very slowly developing play, at least in my head. Everything seemed to be going slow motion. I just really wanted to win, James.
Yeah.
And it happened. Something to note, not like interesting particularly or, you know, going on the stats or anything, but Endre Mustali was the other person right next to that ball, like as Leo Fernandez put it into the back of the net. Mm-hmm. So I was happy either way with whoever scored it. But hypothetically, Leo Fernandez is a half, maybe like a quarter step too slow to that ball. And it would have been Endre Mustali's first goal. So like either way, it was a win-win, right? That kid had a pretty good run coming into this one as well. Christian Ortiz came on late in this game as well. He seemed to have a pretty decent influence on the game. These kids are close to scoring that first big goal for them. And yeah. I'm really excited for when that happened. And it literally like inches away from it being Endre Mustali if Leo Fernandez was just a little bit too slow. Not that I'm complaining that Leo Fernandez scored a game winner. Really, really love to see him scoring after the injuries he's been dealing with. That's now two goals in three games for him. and he's coming back from injury, and he's not even playing that much in all these games. He's playing at most a half at most. When I talked to Robbie Nielsen down under the stadium after this one, I asked him about Leo Fernandez, and he mentioned, obviously, it's fantastic to have him back. But he specifically said what you said earlier, that I've seen a lot of people, like, on Twitter and, like, the Facebook comments especially, saying that Leo Fernandez should be starting. Why isn't he starting? He's, you know, doing so much better than so-and-so and so-and-so. It'd just be a huge asset and whatever. All true things. Well, mostly true things. Fantastic player. He's coming back from injury and, like, yes. a serious run of injury from the last couple of years. Serious injuries that, like you said, if just thrown back into full 90-minute action, can very easily be aggravated. It's really easy to say these kinds of things from the outside. It's much easier to get re-injured. Like, it happens in a blink of an eye. So I fully, like, no matter how much I really want to see Leo Fernandez contribute to this team the way he has been over a 90-minute scale, I am totally okay with him coming off the bench playing 30, 40 minutes. Like, yeah, that seems like a nice sweet spot right now. Because, again, think about this, James. You know, I asked the guys about it going into this weekend after the game on Saturday. I said to Leo Fernandez, how are you feeling going into Charleston, right? They're kind of, you know, a decent amount of points ahead of us now. There's not a ton of games left. And, you know, he said this, what you expect him to say, right? It'd be weird if he said, well, we're giving up, you know. They said they're going to go in there, their game. You never know what's going to happen, right? Anything can happen. Stranger things have happened in sports. People have blown bigger leads. I understand that. That being said, do I want Leo Fernandez playing 90 minutes of every single game in this last part of the regular season that, in theory, doesn't really seem to matter that much anymore with a few games left to play? Not really. I would take the time to ease him back into
it. Don't risk it.
Yeah. Yeah. You have several weeks here to really ease him back into it. Getting to the point by maybe that last regular season game, he can get a full 90 minutes, 80 minutes or something like that. And then he's hot by playoffs. And if Leo Fernandez is hot in the playoffs, I'm scared for any team that plays us. So that's a huge asset that I don't think we're really talking about how much, like, that could mean to this team. A healthy, like, fit, even like half of the MVP Leo Fernandez that we knew a couple years ago being ready for the playoffs, it's huge. And absolutely as a starter, by the way. Where do you put him in? That's Robbie Nielsen's job. I'm not paid for that. But clearly has a fantastic influence on this team whenever he steps on the field.
Yeah.
So that's a starter to me. Figure that out. I don't get paid to do that. I'll do it in FIFA. Like, if the Rowdies were in FIFA, I'd figure it out. So ease him back into this one. I feel like this is something I need to hit on. Sorry if I'm rambling here. But, like, I've seen a lot of, like, the Leo Fernandez comments on Facebook and Twitter. This is good. It's fantastic that we have him back. The guy is so excited to be back. He loves this club more than anything in the world. Yeah. He loves, like, the fans. Like, after the press conference, you know, he walked out and, you know, dapped me up and he said, say hello to your dad for me. Like, just lovely guy. And he loves this team. He loves the people around this team, right? I think he's okay with coming off of the bench and playing 30, 40 minutes because he knows he wants the best for the team and whatnot. Like, he'll be good. So, all that being said, this game against Pittsburgh, to come back to the actual game itself, shout out Leo Fernandez, had a huge influence in this one, obviously. Went our way later on. But like we were kind of talking about, James, I think we started better in the Birmingham game than we did in this one, honestly. There just wasn't a ton going for us in this game, really, at all. Like, I can't pinpoint a ton of great chances that we had. Pittsburgh was doing a pretty decent job of shutting us down. We also kind of shot ourselves in the foot repeatedly, like silly passes. It seemed like there was, like, a lack of chemistry at times, like just – runs that weren't being made that someone thought they should have been made. Stuff like that, like just silly things that were really frustrating to you when you're sitting in the stands and you just want to see a goal, right? After, like, kind of bad run. Pittsburgh scored and I got really pessimistic and I was like, yeah, it's over. I'm gonna go get another $7 beer, which, by the way, enjoy that corner little, like, there's one lady in the corner of the stadium who has a little draft and it's just Mick Ultra and then one random, like, IPA. $7. I don't know why more people don't go there. It's, like, hidden. I got my beer and I went back up, watched the second half. Still pessimistic. Just wasn't, like, a ton going on that early second half. But it really was, like, the subs that kind of jolted the energy into this one, James. This was a really good lineup as well. Like, that lineup on paper should beat like a lot of the league, but just wasn't a ton going until that spark that some guy like Leo Fernandez can bring. By the way, shout out Zane Bubb. He got another start, and that wasn't really talked about too much. He had a decent game as well. This guy could be really good. Like he's had a few minutes. He's made his impact felt when he's on the field, and his appearances that have been absolutely minimum. This was only his second start, I believe, and he did really well. So I'm going to give him a shout out as well. But this lineup was interesting too. By the way, like Manjoma was back out at that wing back spot. So Nyang Ibire was obviously on the bench. Bodley was out the other wing back spot. We talked about this lineup already. And Bender got the start again, which was great because he's been really good. And I like how much he's done for this team. Bender and Hilton, the new dynamic duo, coming off the bench is like an incredible super sub. Like, this is good. Like, all things considered, Spalding being, you know, withdrawn or recalled, whatever it's called, to New England, we're still good. Talent-wise, we're in good shape. James, I think we showed that we still have the character and the talent to be able to pull off wins in glum situations. If nothing else, take that as a takeaway going into the playoffs. The mentality is still there, that they can still fight back and come back and get a result. So that's good. Maybe better performance 90 minutes. But in summary, it was good enough to get the win. And more importantly, good enough to get a comeback win, which at some point you'll absolutely need to do in the playoffs. So good for them against a really good, really hot Pittsburgh squad right now, by the way. Again, we didn't talk about that too much. This Pittsburgh team had gone, I don't even remember, but it's like a string of unbeaten results. I don't remember how many it was. I think it was like 10 last week. Five wins, five ties. Impressive. I'm saying Bob Lilly, great coach. We went in there, came back, got the win. That's all that matters, James. Let's keep that up.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. All right. Well, we have covered both of these two games, and I think that we've done so in good comparison to each other. So, Carlos, the last thing that we have, unless you have anything else, who is your man of each of the matches?
My man of the match in that first game was my goat, my king, my Pookie Bear, Ben Bender. What a name. I want Ralph's mob to come up with a Ben Bender chant. There's got to be something in there, right? Like a bender. We're on a bender. Let's go on a bender with Ben Bender. There's something there. Stephen Cundiff, if you're listening to this, get to work, dog. Come on. That's a good one. There's something there. He's my man in the match for that first game. And then obviously Leo Fernandez will be my man in the match for the second game. I can't not give him that man of the match after coming in and getting that stoppage time winner. Love him to death. Just such a great guy. Genuinely a fantastic guy. And I can't overstate how much he means to this club. It's so good to have him back. More importantly, to the results, much, much, much more important to have him on the field. Great talent. Let's go.
All right, there you go. In the second game, I did not go with Leo, but in the first game, Leo Fernandez was my guy. I think that, as I stated earlier, when he came off the bench, he proved that, yet again, he can be one of the best influences on this Tampa Bay Rowdies team. I mean, I think that there's just some different level of respect for him in the locker room where players see that, okay, Leo is telling me I got to do this. Leo is telling me I got to step up, so I'm going to do that. And I'm not saying that they're not getting told similar things by other people, but maybe getting it from Leo is just that little bit of extra oomph. And when he came on, I definitely thought that he was the closest to breaking the deadlock against the Legion. Unfortunately, Legion were the ones who broke the deadlock of 1-0. So, yeah, that did not quite work out. But as I stated, he was the closest. So he was my man of the match for that one. The second one, I have to go with him because this finish was incredible. My man of the match against Pittsburgh was Manuel Arteaga. If you were going to put in a backheel goal that equalizes the game, the only better thing would be a backheel goal, I guess, that puts us ahead. But you know, we were already down by that point, so we needed something to equalize. That goal was incredible. He obviously did other things and contributed to the game in other ways, but frankly, if you score that and it's as important as an equalizer is in this situation, yeah, he's my man of the match for the Pittsburgh game. And I think that really there were actually a lot of good players in over the course of these two games. It just didn't all coalesce at the same time. So we got to make sure that that's what happens in the next couple of games coming up. And actually, that will lead me into a YouTube comment that we have asking how we close a 20-point gap from Louisville next season. So this would be probably next season in 2025, obviously, but how do we kind of make it a little bit better and close that gap? And honestly,
I got one.
All right. I'll give my quick one and then I'll turn it over to Carlos. My quick one is, first of all, if we have a lot of chances like we have had this year, we cannot miss as many of them as we have. We lead the league in missed good chances. That is a big problem. So if we can put more of those away, then that's going to put us in a much closer position to Louisville City right now.
Oh, yeah. I will say, just quickly checking Fop Mob again. Oh, shout out Fop Mob. Love Fop Mob. We still lead the league by far in big chances missed.
Yeah.
According to Fop Mob, 64 big chances. It's like high XG opportunities for my stats nerds out there. 64. The next closest, James, 13 opportunities away in second place is Charleston Battery, who, as we know, is doing quite well for themselves. So 13 goals is a big difference. So you put away 13 more of those chances and you're not in first place and big chances missed, the season's very different, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's certainly just to go off of what you said. Other thing, beat El Paso at home and like don't tie to them. Generally beat the teams you should beat. Don't get swept by Loudoun. Like, genuinely think about it. If we don't get swept by Loudoun, if we win both Loudoun games, as we reasonably should.
Reasonably should.
We're talking about being 6 points further up. We're at 52 points, right? With one game in hand. We're only 4 points behind. Then you add that El Paso game. We're 1 point behind Charleston with a game in hand, right? Totally different season. We're clearly in the mix for second place, if not the favorite for second place. You throw in random games in there, like that tie against Monterey Bay. That weird tie against Phoenix. You look at that loss to Oakland Roots in Oakland after a fantastic performance, maybe of the season, away to Sacramento. You followed up with that Oakland Roots game. What else? I mean, there was that insane game against Memphis too.
Yeah.
And early season result, like a random draw to North Carolina FC, right? You take in those results, win the games you should win, and you're in the mix with Louisville. You're probably like around 62 points with them. That being said, this Louisville team is insane. I don't know how they've lost five games.
That's honestly,
yeah, it's very, they're clearly beatable, but they're very good. Like, yeah, if you need them to make a mistake for you to win, and you need to play a perfect game. So come around playoffs time, I'm not like saying we can't beat them, because we definitely can. We have the talent for it. We'll have to play a great game. But certainly looking ahead next season, they're going to keep like a majority of that roster like they usually do. Mm-hmm. I don't see why we can't keep a good chunk of our core and add to it, make it better. Hell, let's go sign my goat, James. Let's go sign Bobby Wood. Let's go sign him from save him from the bench of New England Revolution.
Get there
him,
we
man.
Go.
We'll make a trade. Spalding for Bobby Wood. Yeah. God, what a guy. Actually, yeah, that was my point. I was trying to think about what I was going to say earlier when I raised my hand, and I was like, wait, what was I going to say? But I think I was literally just going to say sign Bobby Wood. So that's
bring
it.
In Bobby Wood.
Yeah. So win the game you're supposed to win is the easy answer to that. Just like don't lose and tie to El Paso's. That's so bad.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah. So keep in mind, like, we're going to have to go away to El Paso next year. Still should be a winnable game unless they like switch everything up. But yeah, there's a lot of winnable games this season that we've dropped points in, if not 2 points, 3 points.
Right.
And those are the games that put us in the position we're in. You lose a game to Louisville, you lose a game to Charleston. Hell, you lose a game to Detroit, right? Indy, Birmingham, teams I think we should win against, but you lose games against them, somewhat understandable. You have to win the games against Loudoun's, Rhode Island's, Pittsburgh right now, Hartford, North Carolina, Miami, which we did, to be fair.
Yeah.
El Paso, Monterey, San Antonio this season. Like, those are the games you win. And a lot of those games I mentioned are games that we tied or even. So, missed points, missed opportunities. Thank you for the comment and the question. That's how we get back and come in first place next year. Just
yeah.
and short win. Yeah.
Yep. And with that, we will move on to the next segment. But beforehand, I want to say again, there is a watch party coming up this weekend. This weekend, folks, make sure you get to Berry House off the Ybor Strip in Tampa on Saturday, September 21st. The game is at 7:30, but the watch party itself starts at 6:45. If you would like to get there to be in the background or be part of our live pregame show, we will be going to watch them play Charleston Battery. Obviously, this is a big game because Battery are one of the two teams ahead of us in the Eastern Conference. So let's cheer the boys on from Tampa. There will be beer pitcher specials, as we always have, and a swag giveaway at halftime. So please join us at Berry House. It is always fun there, and we hope you can make it more fun. Now, Carlos, let's get into that away game versus Charleston that is coming up this Saturday. Game that you are looking for right now.
I'm looking for it, James. I found it. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Charleston, South Carolina. What's it called? Patriot Point? Is that what it's called?
I think so, yeah.
Something Point. That's where the that's where they play at College of Charleston still. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. We're going in there. We're going to win 5-0 against this mediocre team who has arguably the worst player in the league, Nick Markanik. Yeah, it'll be a good game. Riders going in to take on the Charleston Battery. The Lee Cohen Derby is back and better than ever. We did beat them at home. That was fun. It was a really good game. It was a really fun one to watch in person, I can't lie. And RBLR will be hosting a watch party, by the way. James, did you hear about that? Your favorite podcast?
I did.
My favorite podcast. So, by the way, what? They're hosting a watch party. They, us, at Berry House Beer. Come by. Same time, 7:30 p.m. It's in South Carolina. Well, the watch party is on South Carolina. You get my point. Charleston is in second place in the East and second place in USL overall, obviously meaning Louisville's in first place. Eastern Conference dominance continues. Although Charleston did lose their last game to the Switchbacks, again, a team that we may or may not have lost to as well very recently too. We did come back to beat them 4-2 in July from that lovely Nate Worth free kick that went somewhat viral across soccer and media, which was awesome to see the kid get that clout. Yeah, seemingly a lifetime ago, James threw that in our notes here. That's a good point. It feels like a very, very long time ago. Mm-hmm. We were in a great run. It seemed like we were kind of like turning the season around right then. Whatever. It was a good memory. Right? It was July. Feels like a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago. Great result against them. We obviously know how to be, say, like the Charleston Battery atmosphere is like the most intimidating in the world or anything. I don't think it should be a huge challenge dealing with outside circumstances. Let's just go in and play our game, and I think we can come out with uninteresting results. That being said, this Charleston team is very good. They use mostly the same 4-2-3-1 lineup. Although, key note here, Aaron Molloy might be injured. Huge note for arguably one of the best center midfielders in the entire league.
Yeah.
Adam Grinwis is in net behind Mark Segbers, Graham Smith, Nathan Dos Santos, and Josh Drack. What a name. Chris Allen and Jay Chapman are behind Nick Markanik, soon to be La Liga 2 player at a team I'm forgetting, but he's going over there somewhere. Emilio Icaza, fantastic player, and Juan Torres are in front of them with MD Myers up top. If I'm not mistaken, it was Juan Torres that had that insane game against us back in July. Guy's good. Like, this team's full of, like, you know, pretty recognizable players. He's one that I wouldn't have kept my eye on particularly too much until he played against us. Yeah, he had that lovely, lovely goal in the 8th minute. Had another run of assist. I don't know if he got an assist on that Smith goal. I'm trying to check FOTMA. Fact check me. He did get the assist too. That's right. I was right. And created a bunch of chances after that. As you guys remember, we went down 2-0. Arteaga penalty got us back into it at the end of the half. And then we'd run away with it in the second half. Really fun one. This guy's good, so keep an eye on him. Everybody's going to be focusing on Nick Markanik, obviously. Emilio Icaza, obviously, another great player. But Juan Torres is like their X factor on this team. Just a little bit more under the radar in terms of, you know, coming up behind Nick Markanik in terms of attention. Guy's really, really good. Be careful with him. Could also see, by the way, and Arturo Rodriguez is the number 10, or Leland Archer at the back. So room for a mix-up. Nick Markanic has 25 goals. One more will see him set a new USL record. I didn't know that. Yeah, he was on pace at some point, like when he was going like goal to have like a million goals. Obviously, humanity got to him. He slowed down a little bit, like not much, but he slowed down a little bit. He's still on pace to set the USL record with, what, 7 games left for them? Maybe 8 games. MD Myers has 13 goals so far. So, you know, another fantastic double-digit goal scorer for them. Torres, Markanic, Rodriguez all have 6, 5, and 4 assists, respectively. These players and Aaron Molloy in particular are their chance creators. But like we said, Molloy has missed their last few games. He might be injured. All things considered, taking all these, well, all of these, they have this maybe one injury, all these fantastic players, James, going away to the cauldron that is Patriot Point, whatever it's called. It'll be a fun game, James. It will be a fun one. I think we can pull it off, though. We can pull something off, is what I'm trying to say. I'm not
sure. You're ever the optimist, so that makes sense.
I am the optimist, James. So me being the optimist, I feel like you're kind of my balance here. I feel like I know where you're going to go with your prediction on this one. But before we do predictions, tell me about what you think about this game. Like, just initial vibes going into this one. You're the tactics god out of the two of us. How do you think this one could play out before the prediction?
I love that having read a tactics book elevates you to God on this podcast, but
it's a low standard, James. I told you, I just played FIFA occasionally. I haven't played FIFA in a long time. I've been grinding NCAA college football. I lost like the Fiesta Bowl yesterday with USF. I'm still recovering from that. But in terms of soccer tactics, I think you're probably much better versed in that world than I am. So tell me, James, give us the exact rundown of how these 90 minutes will go minute by minute.
Well, what we know already, as you have stated, Carlos, these are three very good players that they have in their attacking midfield. Those are almost certainly going to be Juan Torres on the left, Emilio Icaza, a St. Petersburg native, in the middle, and Nick Markanic on the right. Yeah, so these are going to be players who are going to create something. Markanic and Torres are going to get crosses. They're going to get shots. That will happen. The problem, the real thing to do is to limit how much they get the chance to do that, because they are obviously in very good form. They are able to do this in every game. And maybe if we can slow them down, we will have the best chance, I think, to actually stop them from scoring. So the way that we do that with Aaron Molloy out is to try and prevent Chris Allen and Jay Chapman from being the actual playmakers from deeper and filling in the role that Aaron Molloy would usually have sitting next to Chris Allen. So that's kind of where we need to do and where we need to play our game. That's kind of where we need to focus. Shutting those two down, maybe that's going to come down to a lot of play when we are out of possession and trying to press them into giving the ball up, or at least harry them into having bad passes. I think that is probably the best chance that we have here. As I said, these players are good enough that they are going to get themselves in positions at some point where they are going to get a good shot off. If we can limit the number, then we will have the best possible chance. Either way, let's move forward with that. Let's actually do a good defensive job this week. I think that we did a better one versus Pittsburgh. We mostly did okay versus Birmingham. We obviously did not, especially on the second goal, but that's where I'm hoping to see us improve.
I have a question, James.
You're in the back.
Yeah, right here. You're Robbie Nielsen, okay? You're going into this one. You've had a mixed bag of performances at the back line. You've started some new players. You've rotated guys in and out. You're going with a back three, okay? Who's your back three in this one?
Well, Aaron Guillen did not start the game against Pittsburgh, and I don't know if that's down to an extension of the injury that kept him out of the game before we played Birmingham. So that's kind of interesting. If you're lining up and you need a new backline for the matchup, then that obviously forces your hand a little bit. So if we end up seeing Bub, Kleeman, and Jordan Doherty again, I'm assuming that that means that's because Aaron Guillen is out. At this point, it does seem like, however much we've seen of Zane Bubb or not, he is behind Freddie Kleeman in the pecking order. So if we're going with three at the back and everyone's healthy, other than Forrest Lasso, who will be out until next season, then Aaron Guillen, Freddie Kleeman, and Jordan Doherty appear to me to be the best options. But yeah, if Guillen is out again, then more than likely Bubb is going to be the guy that we see stepping in if they continue to stick with a back three.
And what a test that would be for him, by the way.
It sure would.
Matching up against maybe the most explosive offense in the USL. That'd be interesting. Yeah, there's just, it's curious. Like, there's a lot of movement. Robin Nielsen hasn't really been married to any particular three. Like, he's rotated Monjoma in sometimes too, who you didn't mention, right? Like, he's also a wingback, you know, the last game with Nyang Bire being on the bench. So there's a lot of things to consider. I'm curious how he comes out in this one, what his kind of approach is, if he wants to add, I don't know. You know, Kleeman's obviously a bit more clumsy in terms of speed. Do you want a bigger guy? Do you want a little more speed back there? Right, you can put in a Monjoma back there. He's a great defender, obviously quicker than the tall Freddie Kleeman. Things to consider, I would say. So thank you for humoring me, James. Is it time to get to our predictions?
I think that we can do that. I think that that is a good place to take us next.
Okay. Well, James, I'm going to start off. My heart says we win 5-0. My mind says we tie. We're going to draw. And we're going to draw 2-2. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hit the over on this one. There'll be four goals here. Yeah, I think we'll get a surprising lead early on, and it's actually Charleston that has to come back on us this time. But instead of them pulling away and getting the win, we hold on and we get a draw in Charleston, and what will certainly be a fun one.
Okay. All right. Well, as ever, I have gone with the pessimist route and said that we will lose 2-1, but Eureka joins you on the optimist side with a 1-1 draw. So as ever, I am rooting for you guys to get the right result while I choose what I think is probably a safer bet if we are doing bets. So that is where we will leave this game.
Get ready to jump in the bay, buddy. That's what you're doing. Throwing away your chance at winning this title. I mean, I told you, I'm already winning the predictions game. Like, I'm claiming the title with 8 games to go. I'm just trying to do not get last place. Like, you're shooting yourself in the foot here, right? Like, Eureka, I don't have to talk to Eureka every week. Like, you're my best friend on this podcast, James. Eureka's in the background. Like, I'm trying to help you, okay? I'm trying to throw Eureka in the bay, okay? And you're shooting yourself in the foot by predicting a loss, but... You know what? I digress.
Carlos, we'll see how that confidence pays off when it does come into a bay jumping time, but that's down the line. In the meantime, we do need to get into our extra time segment, and a hefty congratulations to Christian Ortiz, 17 years old, made his senior Dominican Republic team debut this past weekend. Yeah, something like that. It was Tuesday of last week, so about a week ago now. He made his senior debut in a 2-0 win versus Dominica, another team in the area that has a very similar name, obviously. But Dominica are not the strongest team, while the Dominican Republic, as I brought up when we had Christian Ortiz on the show, they are improving constantly, and they are getting all of these new players into the program. Christian Ortiz is one of those, and I'm very happy for him to be able to make his debut. That is super cool for him, and I hope that this leads to him getting a lot more chances with the senior national team. I think that they could probably use a more regular striker, because the player that they go with, Dorney Romero, is a good player, but he is also known to miss some very... very good chances every so often. So we'll just leave it there. Either way, Christian Ortiz is making moves all over the soccer world, and I think that this guy has a big future in the game.
Score bug operator's nightmare.
Yeah, right.
Dominican Republic versus Dominica. I don't even know how would you do Dominica? Like, Dominican Republic has to be DOM.
Right? I think it is. I think Dominica, the other one might be
CA.
It might be that, something like that.
Yeah. Interesting.
I forget because I watched the game, but I forget what it was.
Yeah. Well, shout out Caribbean soccer. Very important, very up and coming. and constantly getting better. James, closer to home, one of our own, Leo Fernandez, one of my favorite people just ever, like top five people of all time, maybe. Leo Fernandez hit 172 appearances this weekend. 172. That's two away from the record, Georgie Hristov, who he's rapidly approaching. And is obviously on pace to break that this season. A new record. That's awesome for him. Still has to get there to hopefully, you know, stay away from injury, ease back into the games, right? Like we've been talking about. And also, Leo Fernandez is on 32 assists. That's one assist away from Georgie Hristov. So a couple good milestones a couple big milestones coming up for Leo Fernandez. This is really fun. I think the biggest one to know is the appearances. That's really cool. It's hard to stay on the team for such an extended amount of time in soccer in general, even more so in lower league soccer, James. We know guys get really good, and we know they get poached by teams with a lot more financial resources. Leo Fernandez almost certainly has had that opportunity, and for whatever reason has stuck around the Rowdies. And he loves the area. He loves his club. He loves the people. And I'm so excited to see him hit that milestone. It's rapidly approaching. An early congratulations to him. He keeps up that goal scoring run too. We can combine that, you know, record breaking day with another 90th minute winner. Who knows?
Let's see it. Let's see all of that. That would be great. But in the meantime, we have to say thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We always appreciate when you do. You can follow us on all the social medias at RBLR Sports. We are there on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere. I am mostly on Twitter. If you are interested in telling me why my Rowdies takes are bad, maybe my predictions are your problem. We know that they are for Carlos. I am at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
At CarlosTPA10 on Twitter, where you can see my correct takes and talk to me about how right I am all the time about everything ever. Happy Hispanic Heritage Month, James. It's going to be a fun month. The vibes are good. The Bad Bunny is playing out loud. And the Rowdies are giving away 2,000 Rowdies branded maracas for Hispanic Heritage Month. Why not? Couldn't be better. I couldn't ask for anything more. Let's get those maracas rocking at Lang Stadium in a couple weeks. Follow me so I can spread USF football propaganda. It's kind of like the thing right now for me. And of course, Rowdy's propaganda. And occasionally some like anti-Don Garber propaganda, because why not? James, follow me on Twitter. Well, I know you do, but if you're listening to this and you don't, at CarlosTPA10.
There you go. And of course, you can send us comments or questions, anything along the way as we do our podcast. We obviously got one tonight, and that took us down a lovely little rabbit hole of how we try to fix this team when we go into 2025, because there is a gap to make up with Louisville
Bobby City Wood.
That we probably can't this year. So
Bobby
in the
Wood.
Future. With Bobby Wood, exactly. Like and subscribe to our podcast to get all of that and more. You can get the full experience on YouTube, including seeing which things Carlos is actively looking for at any given time. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, and you can join us wherever you want on any of those platforms, or you can join us on all of them. That would be great too.
And you can join us in person on Saturday.
There you go. For one more week with a win and a Rowdies watch party coming up. Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.